This program is sponsored by West Automotive Group.
The West Automotive Group presents Auto Talk Radio with host Brian Bowersock. Today's show is brought to you by West Escondido, West El Cajon, West Kearney Mesa, and West Miramar Automotive and Transmission. All part of the West Automotive Group. Get your automotive questions answered. Call Brian at 1-888-344-1170. That's 1-888-344-1170. Now, here's your Auto Talk host, Brian Bowersock.
All right, folks. Welcome to Auto Talk Radio. I noticed that our intro is missing West Oceanside Automotive and Transmission.
All right.
Yeah. Did I get rid of that one this week? No, I still have it. We still have it. Just kidding.
Yep, it's still there.
It's new, so it's missing. We'll have to fix that. Yeah. I just noticed that, though, while we were sitting here listening, staring at each other.
Yeah.
Talking about automotive stuff. So, all right, folks, welcome to Auto Talk Radio this morning. We appreciate you joining us here. Unfortunately, this morning, I'm just talking to the garden guys. He came down the 15 also. There must have been a fatality there. He said at 5 o'clock this morning, it was all backed up. And there was 3 cars placed in weird spots still there. So
yeah, that's, not good.
That's not good. All those hours. And there must have been a 6 or 7 highway patrol people walking around.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And they had the road all blocked off and everybody was going into the carpool lane. All the semis, everybody. So that I'm sure by now, traffic's backed up really far.
Oh, yeah.
So I don't know what time that happened, but it must have happened sometime extremely early this morning. Because like the garden guy said, at 5 o'clock in the morning, it was like that.
Oh, yeah.
When he came through. So, wow.
Not good.
Not good. Yeah. Pray for everybody that involved. Hopefully.
Definitely.
Yeah. Not a good thing. Anyway, so be safe while you're driving out there. And we were just talking about and driving. Hopefully you have good tires and wiper blades and all your lights are working because the storm of all storms is coming. Probably going to be disappointed when this is over.
Typically, that's
I'm expecting Noah Ark kind of weather coming, right?
I don't know. They always say that. And then it rains for 30 minutes. Okay, it's over.
The wind blew.
Yep.
Rain. Okay, good.
I did buy groceries just for the storm. So.
You were telling me that. Yeah. Paul's got all the staples he needs just in case he can't leave the house. In case the grocery store gets washed away that's around the corner from you.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you have your slicker ready in case you have to go out and get other food? You know what a slicker is?
Is that a raincoat?
That is.
Oh, okay.
Is that a raincoat? You truly are a Southern California person. Huh?
Yes, I am.
We don't own those.
I'm like, what is that?
What is that thing? Yeah, all good. All right, folks, 1-888-344-1170, 888-344-1170. Give us a call here, anything automotive related. But yeah, no, hopefully, if you have to go out in the weather, they're saying you shouldn't be traveling around, but I don't know. It is rain, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Although everybody's going to need to slow down. I mean, if it starts, we've had a couple times where it's poured rain here, obviously, and the freeways aren't really made for that, you know, so they get some puddles and stuff because we don't see this a lot. So if it does rain hard, please make sure you have your headlights on, your wipers work good, slow down. Don't need to get in an accident. Don't, you know, slow down. Get to where you're going. Everybody's safe and that. And just be cautious. But yeah, if you need wiper blades, you might want to get them now. There's gonna be a run on wiper blades.
Yeah.
If you're going to be out driving. If you're not going to go anywhere while it's raining, then don't even worry about it. You don't need wiper blades. Yeah. Unless you're just going to sit in your car in the driveway with the wipers on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have one in your pocket.
A wiper blade in your pocket. Most of them are pretty long, especially the driver's side now. I don't know if I want that in my pocket or not. It'd be sticking out the back. It's all good. Anyway, so no, in all honesty, though, it's a good time to, it would have been a good time to previously do it. But if today, if you got to be out and traveling during this weather, you might want to consider grabbing you some wiper blades if yours have fallen apart.
Yeah.
Yearly, they typically fall apart. The sun here is very tough on wiper blades.
Yeah,
so
you just tear.
They do. It's rubber dry rots.
Yeah.
Well, think how hot that windshield gets just sitting in the sun,
et cetera. Definitely. Yeah.
If it was me laying on top of it, I'd melt. So we don't want that. Anyway, today we're talking about common auto repairs and different things going on as far as that goes. Busy week this week in the shop and doing some good stuff. I was talking to my good friend Carl that works for AAA. Carl's getting ready to retire.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So he's worked for AAA for like 30 years. Long time.
Yeah.
And putting him out in the pasture.
Yeah.
So this week, you know, we were just talking about different car things and stuff like that and some good stuff. We finished all of our stuff for AAA, and now Oceanside's AAA approved, like all the other locations. So now all five are AAA approved. When we took it over, it was AAA approved, but just for transmission. So we had to redo the whole thing, and it took a little bit of time.
Yeah.
But as always, but we got approved and signed off, and we got our signs. And were the signs there when you were there? Did you see them?
Well, I just saw some stickers and stuff. I didn't see anything, a big sign. And then the little plaque
was
on the desk.
Did you drop off the new promotion things at all the locations?
Yes.
Put them in the little...
At Kearney Mesa, I didn't. I got to do that on Monday.
Oh, gotcha. Always fun stuff going on with AAA. That's what I was talking to Carl about. I forget what else he called about. I think he actually called to let me know that he dropped the signs off over there. So, and I talked to the crew, and they're going to put the signs up and stuff. Just fixing some equipment this week. It's been a busy automotive week as far as background stuff to make sure the shops keep running so that they can fix everybody's car out there.
Yeah.
So just good stuff. All right, folks, 1-888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. Me and Paul talk to you about anything you want to talk about automotive related, of course. So, but we are talking about common repairs that are done these days. One of the most common repairs is brake work. Those things just wear out, don't they?
Yeah, they do.
So some of the most common repairs that we deal with are brakes on cars, the wear and tire, brake pads, more than once in the life of a vehicle. Although some vehicles these days, the brake pads last a lot longer.
Yep.
We're seeing like GM redesigned their brake pads on their trucks and stuff. And now they almost last 100,000 miles.
Yeah.
You know, which is amazing.
Yeah, so, definitely. And the Priuses, too, last forever.
Oh, they do, too. But I think that's because the regen on that when slows them down themselves when you... Yeah. Interesting car.
Yeah, I drove a friend's Tesla the other day, too. And when you let off, it just kind of slows down.
It's electric motor. Yeah. Just like, back
you almost
drive.
Didn't even need the brakes. Well, you would, but...
I don't know how fast those go through brakes since we haven't really been servicing them.
Yeah.
Up till recently, there was no parts available for them except for now. You can get brake pads and control arms.
Yeah.
The two things that... That's it.
Yeah.
There's nothing else made in the aftermarket that I know of. Do you?
No. They make like lowering kits and stuff. People are lowering them and putting bigger wheels on it. So they sell like coilover kits and stuff like that I've seen. But not maintenance.
Nothing I want to do to my car.
You're like, no.
No. Not tricking out my Tesla. Yeah. Definitely not.
Yeah.
No, definitely not. Definitely not. Well, let's see what Bruce has to say. Good morning, Bruce. Good morning,
sir. Good morning.
How are you?
Fine, thank you. Well, I was looking at the weather this morning, the Weather Channel, and they were talking about the storm, of course. And as they showed it, the maximum wind that we'll see, and at least in Carlsbad, would be 21 miles an hour at its peak.
Oh, that's not bad at all.
No.
That means by the time it gets inland, like to Escondido or El Cajon, it's probably going to be like 10 mile an hour or something.
Yeah, there's not a lot of history on hurricanes in this area to base it, but they've been pretty accurate that I could see. There is going to be a lot of rain coming from it. Several hours that showed the rain chances above 75%, all the way to 100.
Gotcha. Does are they predicting how many inches of rain?
No, this doesn't predict that.
Gotcha.
It just tells the hourly conditions, and that's it. Anyway. I had a question if you could describe what's going on and what's called the smoke test for emissions and, where you're trying to figure out where a possible vacuum leak is coming from. I don't have any of this. I'm just wondering what's going on, and especially with respect to the vapor leak detection pump.
Mm-hmm.
Could you kind of explain what's going on in that and where that smoke is actually inserted?
Well, okay, so there is a fitting on the evap system, and we only actually do that if we're looking for a fault in it. as far as that goes. You know, like we get a code such as EVAP system won't hold vacuum, turns on the check engine light. And what happens with that is when the either the EVAP pump, some of them have a pump.
Yep, detection pump.
Yep, some of them use the vacuum of the motor itself, of the engine, I'm saying. So it just depends on what type of system it is. But when it operates, if it does not pull and hold, it has sensors in the tank, and if it does not hold properly, then it sets a code for that. And then what we start looking for is a leak in the system, and that's what we use. We have a smoke machine. It's really not smoke. It's a vapor, non-corrosive vapor that it's like mineral oil.
Yeah, baby oil.
It's same thing. Yeah, it's just so that uses an oil like that. It's a non-corrosive kind of smoke, and really, what it is we're just looking for the leak in the system.
Well, all right. With the actual you're looking for a vacuum in the fuel tank itself, and that's mm-hmm. to prevent vapors from leaking. Correct?
Yeah. So it's the only reason it pulls a vacuum is to test it, to make sure that the system is closed and there are no leaks. Okay. And then regularly, when the vehicle it pulls the fuel vapors, it will store them in the charcoal canister, and then at certain times, it opens a valve and allows the engine to suck those in, and it gets burned. That way, these emissions never go to the atmosphere, or gasoline vapors never go to the atmosphere.
Okay, given that everything is working properly, there's no vapors. And
correct.
But if let's just say you hook that smoke detector to a completely working system, mm-hmm. so you're not going to see any smoke anywhere. Yet inside the fuel tank itself, there will be smoke. Is that correct?
There will be, and so then we could, to make sure there's smoke in the tank, you could pull the gas cap off, and then it would come out that direction.
As long as the valve's open, right?
Huh?
Yeah. As long as the valve's open.
Yeah, the valve's open. But when we're doing that, we usually put the system into that if we were actually looking for a leak. But yes, it'll put smoke into. You got to put the system into test mode so that the valve's open, so that it'll do that and fill the tank that way. But yes.
So if that's the case, then, and if you were able to generate the smoke yourself, which mm-hmm. I assume you can, mm-hmm. you could actually use the fuel filler. As your input point for the smoke itself. Is that true?
You could, and we do that sometimes too, yes. There's all kinds of adapters for this machine, cones and stuff that fit into that so that you could fill it with smoke. Yes, sir.
And do all vehicles and current vehicles have a charcoal canister?
Yes.
Yeah, 96 and up, yeah.
Yeah, yes. Before that.
Oh, actually, we do.
We have had charcoal canisters for forever. I forget what year, but even in the 80s, you know, but way back to, yeah, yeah. So the systems back then, though, didn't have anything to test them, if that made sense. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it was still a closed system, but it wasn't electronic, so we didn't monitor. Everything's monitored on a car now, as is the EVAP system also.
And the whole idea with a canister, charcoal canister, then absorb the vapors, and in this case, if you were doing a smoke test, then it would be absorbing the smoke as well, right?
Yes. Well, it would definitely go into there, yes.
Yeah, gotcha. Well, I appreciate that.
No problem.
Let me understand how that works.
Well, and it's an important system because you don't want the gasoline vapors going to the atmosphere. It's just as bad as, well, you know, it's hydrocarbons, so we don't want that going out in the atmosphere. That's why they store it and then burn it through the engine.
Sure.
So
yeah. Okay. Well, thank you very much for your help.
No problem. Great to talk to you, Bruce. Have a wonderful, safe weekend.
You too.
Okay. Bye-bye. All right, folks, 1-888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. Anything automotive related, we'll talk to you about. We're going to take our first break here real quick. You're listening to Auto Talk Radio on The Answer San Diego 1170 and 96.1. Be right back after these messages.
There's more Auto Talk education and empowerment on the way here on Auto Talk Radio. line and get your automotive questions answered by the Auto Man here on Auto Talk Radio. Brian Bowersock, 888-344-1170. Now, here's more Auto Talk with Brian Bowersock.
All right, folks, welcome back. 1-888-344-1170. Anything automotive related, me and Paul will talk to you about. It's good stuff. Do want to remind you, Auto Talk Radio is brought to you by the West Automotive Group, which consists of West Escondido Automotive and Transmission up at 2200 Auto Parkway in Escondido, AAA approved and STARS certified for smog for over 30 years now. Kind of makes me old. Along with West El Cajon Automotive and Transmission out at 844 North Johnson Avenue, taking care of folks out there in East County, AAA approved for over 10 years now. And West Kearney Mesa Automotive and Transmission, 8027 Balboa Avenue, right there in Central San Diego, AAA approved and smog certified. Taking care of folks over there for over 6 years now. And West Miramar Automotive and Transmission, 5726 Miramar Road and Eastgate Mall, right in the Golden Triangle. AAA approved and STARS certified for smog. Taking care of folks over there for over 4 years. Man, time just flies.
Yeah.
It does, really, for over 4 years now. All of us at the West Automotive Group, me, myself, my employees, come together to bring you Auto Talk Radio for one simple reason. We believe in the same philosophy. We never put money ahead of people, and we love talking to folks about their cars. Stop in to have your vehicle serviced or repaired and find out what quality automotive service and repair is all about. And the West Automotive Group is proud to offer 6 months no interest for your vehicle service and repair needs on approved credit at all locations. Speak to one of your service consultants or one of my managers, and they'll get you taken care of. And get in and take advantage of our CertCare transmission diagnosis or any other diagnosis. Best money ever spent is on a diagnosis at a qualified shop with a qualified technician. Get to the bottom of things. By the way, I forgot to add West Oceanside Automotive and Transmission.
Yeah.
See, without the intro, I looked it up.
Yeah.
Anyway, for about four months now.
About 4 months.
Yeah, 4 months now. Doing great. Those guys are doing awesome. Mm-hmm. Same crew over there. It was just a no-brainer. Now we cover the coast and the inland of North County, right?
Yeah.
So good stuff. But get in and have your vehicle diagnosed by us. You can also jump on westautomotivegroup.com and make appointments, check us all out, or follow us on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram, where we send out little tips about car stuff all the time. So that's westautomotivegroup.com for your appointments, and you can see all about us. And check out the new website. We just got it up about a month and a half ago, so they did a beautiful job on it.
Yeah, it looks cool.
It looks really good. Yeah, very, very, very informative and easy to use. So that's westautomotivegroup.com. You can also email me anytime at autotalk@westautomotivegroup.com. And by the way, from our website, you can check out the Automan segments where I'm the Automan for the CW and Fox 5. And you can also click on Autotalk Radio stuff there. Listen live through the 1170, or you can grab podcasts, etc. Or you can get the podcast from Apple, Google, Pandora, Deezer, Stitcher, Spotify, iHeartRadio.com, and we're all over the place. Anyway, you can get podcasts from there. Or you can email me, like I said, at autotalk@westautomotivegroup.com. So, good stuff. I appreciate y'all joining us this morning. Let's grab Dan real quick and see what he's got to say. Good morning, Dan.
Good morning.
How are you today, sir?
I really appreciate doing well, sir. I really appreciate everything you're trying to help us with. But I have some questions.
Sure.
What technology is coming up in the future? Because the mandates of the governor here in this state and the concerns over the environment have made us move into the electronic cars. We don't have the ability to get the materials, raw materials, to make the ion batteries. We don't have the grid to recharge the cars, mm-hmm. even the ones we've got now. What technology do you see coming that might be useful?
Well, first off, one of the things that you said about electric cars is they're doing that because of the environment. And I know they say that, but actually the carbon footprint of a full EV vehicle is larger than the footprint of a internal combustion, which is a joke. So, but technology wise, and we've talked about this, I don't foresee this EV thing being the answer in the end run, because I don't foresee that they're going to get the infrastructure right. And they're going to be able to get everybody in electric cars, and this is going to work out. So I know they're looking at alternative fuel vehicles such as hydrogen as a fuel, as far as that goes, and they've been working with that a lot. Is that going to be the answer? I don't know. But I think there's going to be something else alternative fuel-wise that will be the answer. I personally think that our wonderful governor here jumped on this EV thing a little quickly, and it's really not going to be the answer in the end. Because it just doesn't seem feasible for so many reasons, if that makes sense.
Correct.
So I don't know. Do you have any ideas on technology stuff out there? Everything that I'm kind of looking at right now is, like I said, alternative fuel-wise, hydrogen fuel is the one thing that they've been doing a lot of research with.
That's what I was going to say, too. Alternate fuel.
Yeah.
Porsche is trying to come up with a different fuel.
Correct, yeah. Right. So, and like a hydrogen vehicle produces zero, I mean, absolutely zero emissions. So if you, you know, but... It's not the simplest thing out there either, and that's why they haven't made that a mandate like, oh, 2035, everybody's going to hydrogen. You know. But I do think something like that's going to happen prior to getting to this thing where the electric vehicle thing. Because, like I said, the cost, the cost to produce those batteries and the raw materials needed and all, that's just not the answer, in my opinion. I don't know if that helps or not, Dan.
You heard anything about the technology of ET that the government's been suppressing?
Uh-uh. No, I have not.
It's some anti-gravity things, and I'm just wondering if that has become, I know with the information that's going before Congress and the things that they've been doing with the UFOs, some of those are made by some of the dark forces of our government, and was wondering if they had come up with any of the vehicles that were going to utilize that technology.
Not that I'm aware of, but I did see that they are talking about UFOs in Congress and that and stuff. So I'd like to have a flying car. So, but I'm not sure it'd be an UFO. But if I have one, everybody else will be able to have one too. So, yeah, I don't know. We're going to see, I truly do not think the answer is this electric EV mandate is going to get pushed out, because it's just not feasible. Our infrastructure, the grid, will never be able to handle it unless they really get going and restructure everything, which is probably not going to happen. I mean, let's look at it right now. We've had a heat wave into Texas and all that stuff, and they're telling people with electric vehicles, don't charge your vehicle. Okay, so that's kind of like having a gas vehicle when they tell you you can't go to the gas station. I remember that in the 70s where you had to line up. I was a kid and you had to line up and even an odd to get gas on different days, you know, they rationed out fuel. That's not going to work out so well. So there's got to be a better answer out there. So my thought is something's going to happen either with hydrogen or they're going to come up with another alternative fuel, which will be way better. Because you won't have to stop and plug your vehicle in for an hour on your drive wherever you're going, such as all the people that get stuck in a line out in Barstow trying to go to Vegas, right?
Yeah.
So anyway, if you're going to Vegas, you can get there on one charge, but you better charge your vehicle the night before so you don't have to stop. So anyway.
Yeah, the problem is some of those trucks, the Ford trucks, they don't go anywhere near what they say they will.
Oh, absolutely not.
People are getting stuck in the middle of the desert.
Yeah, exactly. And then I was talking to somebody last night. They're like, oh, we're going to buy a Rivian. And I was like, ooh, I don't know if I do that. They're financially, like, Ford pulled out of them and did their own thing, as you know, the Lightning. I just know financially they've been having a bit of trouble. So, you know, what really stinks is when you buy a car and then the manufacturer goes out of business, and you can't really get parts for the car anymore. So it makes it really difficult to fix the car when something goes wrong. And those are not a cheap pickup truck or SUV.
Yeah, they're
$100,000 or $100,000. So you spend $100,000 for a car you can't drive, that'd be awesome.
But it is a pickup truck, so you can throw a generator in the back. You know, you're running low.
But what good is that going to do if it's broken and you can't buy the parts to fix
That's
it?
That's true, yeah.
All good.
Extension cord.
So, anyway, good stuff. Hey, Dan, thanks for the call. I appreciate it.
All right. Bye-bye.
Take care, buddy. Bye. So, great questions. And, you know, you get me going on this EV thing always, and I'm always like...
trashing them.
I'm not trying to trash them. I think they have a purpose. They do. Like I said, you know, if I did a lot of driving during the day... And I just took my car home and parked it at night, and I could charge it there because I have solar on my house. So not a bad idea. I don't drive that far, though.
Yeah.
You know, to my office, which is in Escondido at the Escondido location, corporate. You spend more time driving around than I do.
Yeah.
But I usually drive to the office, and my office is there, and that's usually where I'm at most of the time. So normally it's like, I don't know, what is it, 3-4 miles from my house or something? It's not very far. Yeah. Electric vehicle really wouldn't do me well. So it's not something that I need. And to be honest with you, I'm sure the batteries in those are kind of like, you know, your cell phone, obviously. I do know this. Or like hybrids, you know, like the state of California owned, and we work on a ton of their vehicles, but all those Priuses they own, and they bought them, and like, they're all like 15 years old, and they have like 20,000 miles on them, and we keep putting hybrid batteries in them because the batteries go bad when you don't use the car also.
Yeah, that's the worst thing you do for them.
Yeah, exactly. So driving too much, driving too little, you got to get it right in the middle.
Yeah.
So, you know, one of those things. Anyway. All right, folks, 1-888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. We're going to take our last break here real quick. You're listening to Auto Talk Radio on The Answer San Diego 1170 and 96.1 FM. We'll be right back after these messages.
There's more Auto Talk education and empowerment on the way here on Auto Talk Radio. Get on the line and get your automotive questions answered by the Auto Man here on Auto Talk Radio. Brian Bowersock, 888-344-1170. Now, here's more Auto Talk with Brian Bowersock.
Yeah.
All right. Welcome back to Auto Talk Radio. 1-888-344-1170. 1-888-344-1170. Call in for some good times and talking about cars. Anything cars. Even EVs. My favorite thing to talk about these days.
Favorite thing in the world.
Favorite thing in the world to talk about these days. Anyway. Well, you know. Oh, look what's right on top here. Auto experts doubt EV transition goals.
Oh,
check that out. A recent survey by ABB Robotics and Automotive Manufacturing Solutions showed that over half of the auto industry experts are doubtful of transition to EVs by the 2030s. A recent survey showed that, according to the data from the ABB Robotics and Automotive Manufacturing Solutions, 59% of almost 600 industry experts that were surveyed confessed that they doubt that the switch to EVs was possible within the time frame specified by lawmakers. Think people in politics, you would think they'd make a law without knowing for sure something could be done.
Yeah.
Wow. Maybe the governor's listening.
Yeah.
Do you think he tunes into my show every week?
Yeah, could be.
He probably should. He learned something.
Yeah.
Those surveyed were comprised of experts working directly for car makers, plus suppliers, engineers, and managers employed in the auto industry. Reasons for doubt stem from concern with battery supply chains. Yeah, lacking the raw materials needed. The big holes we got to dig in the earth and places all over the world.
China's buying all that land, too, where you dig it up.
Yeah, there you go. Lacking raw materials. And a lack of grid capacity and charging infrastructure. Oh, the things we talk about all the time.
Weird.
Yeah. And we're not even rocket scientists.
Yeah.
Only 11% of the group said they believed current EV transition targets were feasible, with 18% having said those 11% probably... those 11% were probably politicians. Anyway, with EV transition targets were feasible, with 18% of having current targets were impossible to meet. Having said current targets, 18% had said that current targets were impossible to meet. Respondents who were asked if they believe the auto industry could utilize sustainable manufacturing, which was met with less skepticism, with only 4% disagreeing. One quarter of respondents, however, admitted that the cost of manufacturers was a challenge, which if you watch all the car manufacturers lately, most of them are saying they're losing money on EVs. Like Ford had to lose
a
quarter.
I saw that.
They're
all
losing money on EVs. What a terrible thing to do. You know, so one of those things, you know, we'll see what happens. We'll see what
You're not saving your EV paper?
Not this one.
Oh.
Getting rid of that one. Okay. Yeah, absolutely.
That's how much you hate.
I have a bunch of EV notes here, man. That kind of like a... I researched all this stuff and so every now and then when we're talking about EVs, I throw one or two of these great things in there. You know, as far as that goes, there are, I love when an article says key takeaway. Mm-hmm. That's my favorite thing. Anyway, one of those things. But yeah, so I don't know. Even the experts like us are skeptical.
Yeah.
Yeah. Since we're in the industry, I guess we're experts on it, but I don't know. Very interesting. Everybody asks, like, what are you going to do? Well, then we're going to fix electric vehicles. Yeah. It's just a car. Yeah. I mean, it's just another car. And we had all electronics on internal combustion engine cars, too. So now it's just a car with electric motor.
Yeah. Yep. Another computer. And
yep. Yep.
Go from there.
Yep. 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 It does reduce some drivetrain, though, on a lot of these. Like Ron's Mercedes has a motor on each wheel.
Yeah.
So, there, you know, but it does extend the wiring and electronics, though. There's a lot more sensors, things like that.
Yeah.
So there's great stuff to go bad.
Yeah.
We like that.
Don't pin test the orange wire.
Boom. Yeah. Anyway, all good. Yeah. Note of a device.
Yeah.
All good. Good morning, Mark. How are you doing today, sir?
Very good. How are you guys?
Another wonderful Saturday. Just waiting for the rain to come.
Me too. I was wondering that I had heard that you no longer have to warm up your motors, and this friend of mine asked me, well, why is that? And is it because of the lubricants or because the motors are different? Or,
well, first off, motors do lubricate quickly and pretty fast now as far as that goes. So when you say don't have to warm them up, you don't have to sit and like run, but mostly because the fuel systems work so well. Mm-hmm. Technology is taken us so far, whereas before you'd start a car, the choke closed on the carburetor, it ran extremely rich, and that's one of the reasons you warmed it up, to get the performance and drivability quality to come up on the car before you start driving away, to be honest with you. So there was two reasons for that. And then also, you know, they used to talk about get the oil lubricating pumps. Well, today technology with the oil pumps in the cars, the minute you turn the key and start the motor, the system pretty much lubricates really quickly. And secondly, the fuel control is perfect all the time. As long as the car's, you know, all the sensors and everything are working properly, you don't have a check engine light and everything's doing the right thing. Correct. So it doesn't overfuel. Because back then, when a carburetor closed the choke and that thing started, it was so rich. Also, if you take off driving, a lot of times that fuel was excess in the cylinders, so you could actually get some fuel wash, which would clear some of the oil off the cylinder walls. That's why you didn't want to drive it when it was super cold and started that way, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it sure does. I remember those days.
Yeah.
I'm kind of old, so yeah, I definitely remember that. Also, I've got a 2020 Ford V6 van with a turbo, and I was wondering, I'm not quite sure where the catalytic converter is. Does it look like a python that swallowed a can, or does it? I know what a muffler looks like. It's pretty obvious, but and there also there's a braided portion of the exhaust system.
Okay, that's that braided portion is a flex pipe where it comes in. That allows for the engine to flex and move without breaking. If they had put a solid pipe in there, it would eventually crack. So that's what we call a flex pipe. So that's just a flexible part of the exhaust system. Usually the cats on that vehicle are right off of the exhaust manifolds on the down dump. You can usually see them. They're kind of shaped. I don't know what you'd call that
shape. I was trying to think how to.
And there may be three cats on that vehicle. There could be two up in the Y pipe where it connects to the exhaust manifolds, one at each side of the exhaust manifold, and then one where the Y pipe comes together into the single exhaust.
I think it's the same motor as a Ranger, EcoBoost.
But my Ranger is a 4-cylinder, 2.3-liter EcoBoost.
Oh, it is. Oh.
Yeah, not a V6.
Also, do you make shields for those so they're less likely to be stolen?
They do have. They have. If there's not shields, there's a thing called a cat cable. But I got to be honest with you, those vans where the cats are located, nobody's been. It would be extremely hard because I believe they're coming. They're right tucked up off the exhaust manifold. To get those off there in a short order and even to cut them off there is not something. That's why they're not being stolen off those vehicles. I have yet to replace cats on any of those vehicles that I remember at any of our stores, right?
Yeah, I haven't seen
it. Never seen it, no. So that would tell me that they, and I'm not saying that Ford built it that way by intention, but the way it got built was made it very hard. The reason like Priuses and other vehicles lose cats, people steal them, is they're super easy to get to and cut off.
Oh, okay, good. Good to know, because that I was concerned about that. Since there's so much clearance underneath them, that'd be easy to get underneath there. So.
Some of the bigger vehicles that we work on that have access underneath them with larger cats, there's a thing called a cat cable that we put on that you can't cut through. So that way, if somebody rolls under the vehicle to cut them, they see that and they go under there.
It's a deterrent.
It's a deterrent. It's too hard to do. So, and you can't cut through those cat cables. So that's why. And it's like cables that wrap the cat. So it just makes it, boy, somebody not knowing what we're talking about would be, I was talking about wrapping a cat up with cables. I'm probably going to, Humane Society people are going to call me in a minute. But no, in all honesty, that's what they make things like that to prevent the theft of those also.
Oh, great. So do you think the VIN number makes any difference as far as, you know, putting the VIN number on the cat?
There's been a lot of places doing that. It doesn't prevent somebody from stealing it, but what happens if somebody gets pulled over with a bunch of cats with VIN numbers on them? They have to have proof where they came from. So, and everybody that, so we, there's people that are called, that's a great thing to talk about. There's people that are, that purchase catalytic converters, from places like car dealers and us, the old ones. Right? Because when they wear out, they have to be replaced. And then some of them have to be sent back as cores, and some of them are not. There's no cores on them, depending on what it is. But the point to that is that the people that buy those have to be registered with the state now. So that, so they're kind of cutting down on that a lot. And if you're not registered to the state and you get caught with a bunch of catalytic converters or even one in the back of your truck, you better have the paperwork. Because if you don't, they're arresting people for that stuff.
Right. Well, thank you very much, Brian.
No problem.
Appreciate your show.
Thank you. Thanks for listening. Have a wonderful, safe weekend.
You too. Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye. Good questions.
Yeah, definitely.
Didn't think about it. But yes, so I think it was January 1st of this year that all cat people that handle recycling catalytic converters had to
finally
be registered.
They're making that more stringent. Because before, it was like... You know, anyone was buying them.
Oh, yeah, correct. Yeah. So, yeah, we deal. There's one guy that comes down out of Los Angeles that purchases them. So, and we recycle them.
Yeah.
You don't want to throw them away because the stuff inside of them can be reused and it's precious metal.
Yep.
Rhodium and palladium.
Palladium?
Palladium. Palladium, maybe. But rhodium and palladium and what's the other one? There's one other precious metal. Starts with a Z, doesn't it?
I'm not sure. I know palladium.
Palladium and rhodium are the two of the
It doesn't have platinum in it, right?
Platinum. That's it. And some of them, I believe. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but those metals coated on there cause a reaction that reduces emissions.
Yeah.
HCCO, NOx.
Yeah. Yep. And some of the BMWs, the SULEV ones, they're coated on the radiator too. So they're cleaning other people's cars. That's how they get away with some of the emission stuff.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
And the person that finds out that they have that radiator, they're pretty bummed because it's...
Very expensive.
Yeah. And they don't know that when they first buy their car.
How would you know that? It's
an emission label.
You'd have to research it. And
salesman's not telling you that.
Very interesting.
But the radiator goes from... It's like $1,200.
Driving down the freeway, other people's vapors go through it, exhaust vapors, it cleans them then.
Yeah.
But there's a reaction. And eventually that fails and you got to buy that radiator.
Yeah, and that's $1,200.
I wonder if there's a sensor on that to tell if it's working or not.
Yeah.
Electronically. So then you have to replace your radiator so it's not cleaning other people's emissions anymore. Yeah. What would you say to that? Absolutely not.
I'm sure. Yeah, I would probably set a check engine light. Yeah.
I guess. I don't know. I'll tell you what, cars now, talking about that and when you're talking about electronics and EVs and all that, the data and the technology with all the stuff that we monitor now is just amazing to me.
Yeah.
I mean, some of those German cars, how many codes do you think they could set, different codes?
Oh, easy 300.
Oh, yeah. It's crazy, huh? Crazy. And regular cars are over 100.
I mean, yeah.
And, you know, something like that. So everything from, there can be things that the seatbelt pre-tensioner just didn't tension just right.
Well, you know, it's like, it used to be what? P-codes, powertrain, yeah. body, TCM.
Yeah. yeah.
Now it's you know, yeah. communication.
Well, because everything's
yeah.
network.
Yeah.
It's all network. Yep. It's a big network on the car. So, yeah, definite information as far as that goes. My dad texted me, very, very informative show.
This. Oh, yeah.
Glad you're listening, Dad. Anyway, he told me, texted me yesterday and said, I'll be listening tomorrow. Okay. Tune us in.
Yeah, nice.
He's down at the farm hanging out. They cut down a bunch of trees and have a bunch of grass now. He said it looks like a country club here.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
Nice. Yeah. Where little deer can eat in the field.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Pew, pew, pew.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. It's not deer season. That's in November. Okay. We got to wait. Anyway. Their car's technology is amazing. All right. We're going to go back to here as we end about talking about... some of the most common repairs. Oil changes. Thing you should be doing to your car every 5,000 miles.
Yep.
I don't care what your manufacturer tells you.
Yeah, I do five on my car too.
Yeah, 5,000 miles in synthetic oil at the West Automotive Group. We don't actually use any other oil but full synthetic oils. Yep. So it's good stuff. 5,000 miles and your car is happy as a clam.
Yeah.
So, cooling system, keeping the cooling systems clean, obviously. We talk about that. We also recommend that early at the West Automotive Group because we see what happens with these if you let them go 100,000 miles.
Yeah.
It's a disaster. It's kind of like not servicing your tranny. We talk about that too. It's down there on the list because that is one of the most expensive repairs you will probably ever have is on a transmission when it fails on the car. Engines tend to last a long time now.
Yeah.
Transmissions do too if you service them, but we recommend every 20,000 miles. That's a West Automotive Group thing. Manufacturers are saying they go 100,000. I always tell people, you can wait 100,000. You get clean fluid with the new transmission when we have to replace it. We see so many transmissions that don't get serviced fail between 100 and 130,000 miles.
Yeah.
Yep. Especially, they make metal. They're planetary's going around, clutches engaging, all these things going on inside of it, valves moving back and forth. You don't want a bunch of contaminants in that valve body. That valve body and solenoids, the valve body especially, the metal is so soft that the valves just wear, destroy it. So with that contaminants floating around, it's like sandpaper. So service the dang thing. It's way cheaper. Jump on westautomotivegroup.com and we'll get you serviced. Hey, I did want to remind you folks real quick too before I go on here that Auto Talk Radio is also brought to you by Interstate Batteries, battery for every need. They are the highest quality batteries out there. We do not stock any other battery at the West Automotive Group. So, and they are the number one technician recommended worldwide technician recommended battery. So if you need a battery for one of your vehicles, jump on westautomotivegroup.com and get in. We'll get you an Interstate installed. If you need a battery for any other reason, check them out at their storefronts here in San Diego at 9345 Cabot Drive in Miramar or in La Mesa at 70th and University Avenue. Interstate Battery, a battery for every need. All right, let's see what Alan's got going on. Good morning, Alan.
Morning, Brian.
How are you doing, sir?
Doing fine. Hope the one make it through this hurricane thing okay.
Yeah. Paul was so concerned that last night he actually went grocery shopping because he said he had no food in his refrigerator. And he said, I went grocery shopping so I have some staples in case this goes wrong. I said, do you have a kayak? You might need a kayak,
I'm
too.
Close to the beach. You never know.
Oh, man. I don't know whether you guys were up very early, but I'm a kind of a late person. I was up late last night.
Uh-huh.
And about 4 or 5 o'clock this morning, you should have seen the lightning show.
Oh, really?
Over the mountains. It was almost hypnotic. There was no sound down here in Chula Vista where I live, but it was just constant lightning.
Wow.
So I've got a friend that lives out in Campo. I'm going to call her this morning and see what happened.
Yeah, hopefully we don't end up with any fires from that, too, because that's what happens a lot. A lot of times fires can start from that. But then if we get all this rain, it'll put out the fire.
Yeah, well, we'll see if this is going to be a toss-up, I think. Mm-hmm.
That's what I told Paul this morning, and we were talking with the garden guys. They're like, talking about all this rain, it's probably going to rain for 3 minutes, and that's it. But anyway, we'll see what happens.
Yeah, we'll see. Hey, what I'm calling in about is you guys were talking about catalytic converters.
Yes, sir.
We have an 05 Prius, and it's been a really, really great car to drive.
Mm-hmm.
But the cat converter got stolen in June of 2020.
Oh, yeah.
So I took it back to Toyota. Actually, I had it towed out there, and they put the cat shield on, but the thing rattles.
Oh, yeah, we talked about this before. Is it still rattling?
It's still rattling, and last time I had him for service, the service guy said, well, they tightened it up some, but it didn't really solve the problem. So I have a friend at church that had a muffler business over in San Diego, and he just sold his business to another guy, but I was talking to him about the cat converter shield thing, and he said what they found is that the security fasteners don't tighten it well enough, and they may keep loosening up. What they do is they somehow replaced it with bolts and nuts.
Yeah.
So they could tighten it down.
Well, and also either that or what we were doing with them is putting Loctite on the security bolts, which prevents them from loosening up.
They make better shields now, too, that vent.
Yeah,
better.
Yeah. There's a lot better stuff on the market for some of these shields now, but yeah. But it definitely is a good idea to have one. You can do different things. So is yours still rattling, or did they help you out and get it taken care of?
No, it's still rattling.
A lot of the time it's rattling on the cat itself.
Yeah, correct.
You can wrap a header tape on it, but when you smog the car, they're going to want to see the EO numbers. So,
But
you can wrap header tape over that, and it'll take care of the noise.
Yep. Or we've also spacered them a little bit before.
Oh, yeah.
To prevent
them. Hang low
they
sometimes.
Do,
yeah.
I know. But, I mean, it's better to have than not have, I'll tell you that. Those cats are getting harder to get a hold of because so many of them were stolen. So that, supply of them is low. So some of those we have to special order and wait to get them. I mean, weeks or months now. So, need to get that in and get that taken care of. And I'm just surprised that they haven't fixed that for you because they installed it. So, but they're probably figuring like we didn't design that and it's not for the car. So I'm not going to do much about it.
Well, I'm going to another service manager that I trust more than the guy that I had, and I'm going to talk to him about it and see what he thinks.
Yeah.
Or if they have any other solution. And my theory is that whenever you have a flat shield like that, if it's in contact with anything that can generate vibration,
it's going to vibrate.
It's going to vibrate. Yeah. It's actually a resonance problem.
Gotcha.
Reach the resonant frequency of any object like that, then it'll rattle. But anyway, we'll see what happens, and if I come up with anything, I'll let you know.
Sounds good. Always great to talk to you, Alan. Have a wonderful, safe weekend, and prepare yourself. The storm's coming.
Yeah, we're just about. Yeah. Talk to you later.
Take care, sir. Bye-bye. Bye. Yeah. So, and I'm not making light of this. It could be a bad storm. I don't know. So,
yeah.
The only reason that I say this is like, well, I was the last time, it's over 80 years ago that they say a hurricane. But if you're talking about 22 mile an hour winds, my question was, is a hurricane actually coming, or is it just out in the ocean and we're getting part of the outside of it? Is it coming ashore? I mean, like a hurricane, when it comes ashore, like in Louisiana or Florida.
Yeah, Florida. That's a whole different thing.
And our houses aren't really built for this. Yeah. I'm going to be honest with you. we're built more for earthquakes than we are for rains. I mean, than we are for hurricanes, right?
So, yeah.
I don't know. I didn't do much research, so I should probably stop laughing about this.
I shouldn't either.
Next thing you know,
waist deep
in water in my garage. Dang it.
I'd like to recall my statement, please.
Mr. Hurricane, I am really sorry that I talked bad about you.
Yeah, it's called Hillary, too. That's even funnier.
But with one L.
Yeah.
So anyway, somebody told me. Actually, my friend Callie was talking to me about this, and she goes, yeah, Hillary's coming to town. And I was like, what are you talking about? I didn't even know there was a hurricane coming.
Yeah.
So I thought she was trying to be funny. But she was serious. She's like, no, that's the name of the hurricane.
There's some pretty funny memes already right now.
Oh, I'm sure there are. I'm sure there are. All right, folks. We do appreciate you joining us this morning. It's been, the hour went by fast, as always.
Yeah, and, appreciate all the calls this time.
All the calls in. Yep. Yeah, appreciate talking to all you folks and having you part of the show, as we enjoy doing Auto Talk Radio with you. Keep the rubber side down and the shiny side up. Make sure, and you know, if you're going to be out driving in this weather coming up, make sure you got good wiper blades, you turn your headlights on, you slow down, and you got good tires. Those are the most important things in weather like this. So people can see you, you can see, and you know, your vehicle has good traction, because bald tires and bald tires and water puddling are not a good thing ever. So hang in there, be safe, and everybody, you know, just do the thing. We will be back live next Saturday, so make sure and tune in and join us then. In the meantime, you can always email me at autotalk@westautomotivegroup.com. And everybody have a safe, safe, wonderful weekend out there. And we'll be back next Saturday. So take care, and happy motoring. This has been Auto Talk Radio on The Answer San Diego 1170.
Answers to all your automotive questions. Tune in every week at this same time for Auto Talk with Brian Bowersock. To learn more about Brian, become a guest or sponsor of the show, or if you have additional questions, visit thewestautomotivegroup.com. That's thewestautomotivegroup.com, and click on Auto Talk Radio. Join us again next week for more Auto Talk.